And we're joined by our regular political analysts, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times, for some thoughts on today's Homeland Security announcement. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you, and happy
to be here.
E.J., let's start with you. The president is turning to the federal bench here, turning to a former prosecutor in picking Michael Chertoff. Do you think it's a good choice?
Well, after his fling with the working class with Bernie Kerik, our Yale and Harvard Business School president has turned to a Harvard and Yale Law School graduate in Mr. Chertoff. Critics are likely to point to his record under Attorney General Ashcroft. They'll say that he ran roughshod over civil liberties while trying to craft the administration's early strategy in the war on terror. There will also be questions about whether he has enough experience to manage an agency this large. Having said that, I doubt the Senate is going to disapprove of him. And in fact, I think a sort of safe guy like this will be a relief to the administration after the dramatics of Bernie Kerik.
And David Brooks, given that flame out of Bernie Kerik, maybe a lack of management experience would be pretty far down on the scale of concerns?
Well, he's one of these guys who's just been around Washington quite a long time. I'm not sure, as E.J. suggests, he's sort of your classic Republican stock. He's the son of a rabbi, succeeded through Talmudic study to get into Harvard and then into Harvard Law School, and then became known to many of us through the Whitewater hearings, which he ran for the Senate. He did a famously thorough job at that, sometimes dragging out the hearings 7 or 8 hours as he methodically went down the evidence. He's just one of these people who's around Washington who is universally admired for professionalism. And so I think I'm amazed they got him. I think the Bush administration lucked out with this one.
I want to turn from Homeland Security to Social Security now. President Bush spoke at a forum in Washington today. He was pushing his plan to create private investment accounts. Let's listen to some of what he had to say today.
As a matter of fact, by the time today's workers who are in their mid-20s begin to retire, the system will be bankrupt. So if you're 20 years old, in your mid-20s, and you're beginning to work, I want you to think about a Social Security system that will be flat bust, bankrupt, unless the United States Congress has got the willingness to act now.
Now, E.J. Dionne, there is some disagreement on these predictions of a bankrupt, or in the president's words, flat bust Social Security system and the timing of that.
Well, first of all, the president who tried to scare us about weapons of mass destruction is now trying to scare us that Social Security is going to go bankrupt. The fact is it isn't. The workers the president described, the people in their 20s, if you get to 2042, which is a long time from now, the system will have at least 70% to 75% of the money it needs to pay them off, and that may well be greater than the amount they get under the cuts the president is expected to propose. This is an enormous argument. It's going to be an argument about principle. It's an enormous argument about facts. I think the president's had a bad week or so on this. A lot of Republicans have expressed doubts. Democrats are expressing more solidarity than you would have expected in opposing the president's privatization plan.
And David Brooks, there does seem to be a lot of grumbling, even outright revolt from within the Republican Party. No clear consensus on how this should be done.
Yeah, I agree. Just speaking politically, I think EJ's got it pretty much right. The Democrats are amazingly united. There are very few who will support any personal accounts. The Republicans are split about six ways from Sunday. And a lot of Republicans do not want to pass a reform of a popular measure without Democratic support. So there's really a roadblock lying 6 or 8 months ahead, a political roadblock. I think the solution is, A, either to work on something else, like Medicare, which is actually a more serious problem, or, B, enlarge the problem. Take Social Security, which I think does need to be fixed in some serious way, maybe merge it with some tax reform, maybe reduce the payroll taxes, increase some of the other taxes. But the bottom line is they have narrowed the issue down too quickly to a specific proposal when there are millions of proposals out there, and they really need to open it up or else they're heading for a roadblock.
There's also this whole debate about whether they'll have to cut back on guaranteed benefits to fund this. Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich saying the Republicans could lose their majority in the House if they go through with that, if they cut back on benefits.
And there seem to be a lot of Republicans who agree with Newt Gingrich on that. The president's close aide and aide to Karl Rove, Pete Wehner, wrote a memo basically saying if we're going to borrow $2 trillion, we'd better cut benefits. The problem with that position is an awful lot of Democrats, as well as a lot of fairly conservative Republicans, are very uneasy about a Social Security reform plan built on borrowing $2 trillion out front. And I think Democrats are less fearful on this issue than they've been on any other issue that they've confronted the president on.
If I could just go a bit to the substance of it, I think cutting the benefits is the test of seriousness here. EJ is essentially right about that if we do nothing, then people retiring now will receive 70% of their benefits, which A, is a problem. But B, I think the more immediate problem is that the trust fund is right now subsidizing all the other programs in government. Within a very short time, within 10 years, and then certainly within 20 years, we have to cut money from other government programs or raise taxes or go deeper into debt to subsidize Social Security. And so to me, the problem is that Social Security will begin to bleed dry everything else in government and make any sort of government action extremely difficult for the rest of our lives if we don't take care of this and the larger Medicare problem.
The difficulty with that argument, where there's something to that argument, but the difficulty with it is that if you repealed or scaled back the Bush tax cuts, you would actually save a lot more money for those programs that David talked about bleeding dry. And I think that's where the tax issue and the Social Security issue are going to blend in the next year.
Do you think there is some middle ground here, or is this going to be similar to what happened with Hillary Clinton and health care reform, overreaching and a plan that just falls flat on its face?
You've just described the Democratic dream, which is that this becomes Hillary Clinton and health care reform. I don't think there's middle ground now. I think there's middle ground in the long run. I think the difficulty is that the president has come out front saying private accounts are the key thing. The view among Democrats, and I suspect quietly among Republicans, is let's not pass this plan now because we can't get to a compromise in the current political situation.
David Brooks, you get the last word.
Well, I guess I'd say two things. First, I think the president has some political capital. Listen to the way he phrased the issue today. Young people generally do not believe the system will be there for them. And as he pitches his arguments to them, he will be trying to seize political control of the next generation. And there's some effect that he can have there. As to the possibility of a compromise, EJ and I sort of headed toward a compromise even in this conversation, which is that if you begin talking about tax reform with Social Security reform, you just have a lot of moving pieces. You've got a lot of things you can do to make each side happy. And there you can see a compromise if you throw in some of the tax reform ideas with the Social Security reforms. If you're just talking about private accounts, I agree with EJ. There's little hope for a compromise just on that issue.
Okay. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Columnist David Brooks of The New York Times and EJ Dionne of The Washington Post and Brookings Institution.